We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. We are so thankful that you are listening on a regular basis. And thank you to those who have sent encouraging comments and made encouraging comments over the past several days. We greatly appreciate the feedback, and probably one of the most exciting things that happened was, I believe it was Monday of this week, I had a lady drive all the way up from Grant, Florida. It's about an hour and a half drive, and here's what was really exciting to me. She took what she had heard here on the broadcast about the crisis in Ukraine that we have been gathering clothes and some blankets for. And she went around to all of her neighbors and she asked them if they could donate. And then she transported it to our church. I want you to know we're going to be collecting those items for another couple of weeks. And so if you were unable to participate last week, but maybe you're going through your closet, by the way, we're just a little over a week away from daylight savings time, one of my least favorite days of the year, because we lose that hour of sleep here at the springtime. But, you know, maybe you're going through your closets and you see some things that you don't necessarily need anymore, or could be a blessing to people who are in refugee status. Last report I heard was about 1.5 million refugees now. And so if you could be a blessing to them, we would greatly appreciate it. Your closet might be thankful. Your kids, your spouse, they all may be thankful for, making some extra room, and God will bless you. He said that when you take care of the poor, that he is not going to allow you to be indebted. You have a heart for the poor. God's going to bless you for it. And so we want to thank you for being a part of that. Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. We're going to be concluding our study on Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. We want to invite you out to our services this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have our worship service at 10:30. And then we have our Sunday night service at 6:30. And would love to have you come and be a part of that. This last week was just a phenomenal Sunday night service for us with all of the faith promise pledges that came in. Truly, truly thankful, humbled before God about what God is doing through our congregation. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and visit us, see if it might be a fit for you. We preach the word, we believe the word, we live the word, and we proclaim the word. So come be a part of us. We would love to have you be a part of our church family. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 12, and I had another lesson that I was going to be sharing, and all of a sudden this word was dropped in my heart, and I said, that is the way that I want to wrap this this series on Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. That's the appropriate way to wrap this up. For weeks and weeks now, I have been talking about all of the things that God has given to us. He gives each man a measure of grace. He gives each man a measure of faith. He gives us the sunshine. He gives us the oxygen. He gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. We have been talking over and over. He gives us victory. He gives us everything that we need. And I want to take you to Luke, the 12th chapter, verse number 42. I was going to put a name on the broadcast today, it would be this. Now, what are we going to do with what we've received. Now, what are we going to do with it? All of those things that we have been talking about, the ministry gifts that he has given to each one to benefit the body of Christ, what are we going to do with it? Verse number 41 of Luke chapter 12, then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all the people? Now, this is the same chapter where Jesus had said in verse number 32, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So Peter says, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who does not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. And so there is that section there in verse number 48. It says, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So we have been talking for weeks and weeks and weeks about all the things that God has given to us. And it is wonderful. God gave us his Son. He gives us salvation. He gives us eternal life. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. He gives us the kingdom. He gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. All of these things God has given to us. And at some point in time, we have to ask ourselves, because Jesus says quite specifically that the principle is for everybody. This principle that we're talking about is for everybody, and that is, to whom much is given, much is required. And so I believe here in America, we have been given so many wonderful advantages. We have the Word of God in print form. We have the Word of God in audible form. You can watch the, you know, Bible videos. You can see preaching on television. There are hundreds of churches that you can avail yourself of that preach the Word of God. We have Christian radio. We have Christian television. We have Christian videos. We have Christian books all over the place. We have been given so much. And we need to understand that to whom much is given, much is required. As you listen to the radio broadcast, what are you going to do? When I talk about forgiveness of sins, what are you going to do about that? This last Wednesday at our vintage service, I was talking about that when Isaiah was forgiven of his sin, immediately there was a response where he heard, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? Whom shall we send? And his response was, I will go. I will go for you. Send me. Here am I. Send me. And when we have been forgiven of our sin, there should be a motivation in our heart that says, God, I want others to experience the same blessing that I have experienced. You know, in the Old Testament, there were some lepers. They were locked out of the city because they were unclean. The city itself was under siege by enemy forces. And the lepers finally came to a realization. They said, If we stay here, we die. If we go to the Assyrians, we might die. We might as well do something. And they went and they found the enemy camp all abandoned. They found all sorts of food. They found gold. They found clothing. And they went and stashed some of it away. And then they went back for more. And they said, you know, what we're doing is not right. So we need to go back and we need to tell the people who are shut in the city, who are starving to death, we need to let them know about this vast supply of resources that are available to them. They literally said, what we are doing, hoarding all of this up to ourselves and not telling anybody else about it, what we're doing is not right. And so they went and they told the city, and overnight famine gave way to bounty and abundance. And so today I want to ask you, what are you going to do with the forgiveness of your sins? How are you going to employ this gift that you have been given? What are you going to do with it? I remember hearing a story a long, long time ago about a dog that would go barking at cars as they were chasing down the street. And to the best of my knowledge, this is a fictitious story, so please don't think that it's animal abuse or anything like that. And, you know, this dog, he'd go barking after cars and all of that sort of stuff. And this one driver, every day, the dog barking at him all the way down the street. And so one day this driver is driving down, the dog starts barking, starts chasing his car. And all of a sudden, the man just hits the brakes. The dog goes smashing into the back of his car. And the guy gets out of his car and goes back there. And the dog is kind of, you know, laying there on the ground, kind of in a daze. And he said, well, you have been asking for it for all of these trips down the street I've been making. And now you finally caught it. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? All those things that we have been asking God for, what are we going to do with it? And it says that to everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. If God has committed to us the kingdom of God, he is going to be asking us to be participating in kingdom business. I want you to know you have a place in the kingdom. I was talking with a missionary last week, the missionary that was at our church, and he was talking about when he was pastoring that his church grew because there was another church, there was a larger church, but there was very little opportunity for people to get involved in that church. And so when people would visit his church, he would let them be involved in the ministry. And pretty soon word got out that you didn't just have to warm a pew. You didn't have to sit on the bench. You could actually be involved in doing the signs and the wonders and reaching people that God had equipped them to do. And pretty soon people started coming to his church because they wanted to be involved. I want you to know that God has committed a great deal of heaven's resources to me. He's committed those resources to Merit Assembly of God and to you, and he asks us to be faithful with it. If you look at this parable, it describes the faithful and wise steward that the master of the house has given him the privilege of distributing the portion of food at the right time, that he was responsible for taking care of the rest of the master's employees or household servants. It says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. You and I, we need to be doing it now. We need to be doing it tomorrow. We need to be doing it right up until the day we die or the day Jesus returns, whichever comes first. We need to be doing it. We need to be faithful in making sure that we are fulfilling the task and fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given to us. That's a word that's kind of out of vogue in society right now, that we actually have responsibility. This last week, there was a person that was talking to me, and we began to talk that we're watchmen on the wall here in America, that as people of God, when we are watching and we are seeing things that are on its way, that it is our responsibility to warn people about the impending danger that is headed our way. But not every servant in this passage of Luke chapter 12 is going to be faithful in carrying out their responsibilities. Truly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all that he has. But that servant who says that the master is delaying and begins to mistreat the servants and instead begins to consume everything himself. You know, he eats and he drinks, and instead of fulfilling his responsibility, he just spends his time drowning his sorrows. On that day, the master is going to come when he's not looking. And folks, let me just tell you, Jesus is coming again. I believe that the word of God is very clear that Jesus is coming again. He is going to reward us according to our relationship with Jesus and what we have done with those things that have been committed unto him. But we need to be found ready. We need to be watching and occupying till he comes. And it says that that servant who was not prepared is going to suffer instead of being rewarded. I don't know about you, but I would much rather be rewarded. Now, if I can just take this passage just a moment and tell you what one of the things that I've encountered through the years when it comes to this passage of Scripture. It says, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required." And I have literally had people who said something like this: "Well, if that's the case, then I don't want to have anything. I don't want to learn anything." You see, those things that that we read and study in the Word, those things that we find out about, we are now responsible for them. We are held accountable, and we are going to have to give an answer to God. Why didn't we, or why did we do what we did with what we learned? And so there have been people that said, "Okay, that's why I don't read my Bible, because I don't want to know. That way I'm not required to have much." But you need to look at that parable in Luke chapter 12, and it says that those people who didn't have everything given, they were still responsible for the things that they had been given. You see, you have been given a capacity to increase, a capacity to learn, a capacity to grow, a capacity to improve. God has equipped you with all of that. And if you and I do not put those things to use, that's what we're going to be held accountable for. And so as we look at this study, thank God that we can cry out and say, "God, give us today our daily bread." And for some of us right now, we need to say, "God, would you give us today the forgiveness that we need?" Maybe it is not a sin of commission. Maybe it's not a sin act that we did. Maybe it's a sin of omission, something that we haven't done, something that we knew that we should be doing, but we haven't done it yet. I told the story on here one time of and I like to use my personal stories as examples, not because they're the perfect illustrations, but because I know I'm not going to get mad at myself. But several years ago, God told me to prayer walk Merritt Island, and I started off and I did it, and it was I found that walking was a lot harder than what you'd think. You'd think you could just walk all day. But I discovered that when you haven't used those walking muscles, that after a few miles, they don't like that very much. And especially when you're not anywhere near, fresh water or anything like that. And so, after I had done probably about 20%, 25% of my walk, I just put it on the back burner and it just simmered there for a long time. And you know, you'd like to think, well, maybe God will forget about it, because I know I've kind of forgot about it. Until one day God showed up in my prayer closet, not literally, but felt like he was speaking to me in my prayer closet, and said, did you ever finish that prayer walk that I asked you to do? And I said, no, sir. No, sir. And he said, do you think that was just a suggestion? You know, I wanted you to do that. And you know, I don't have to fully understand why God wants me to do something in order to do it. But I do know this, that whenever God gives us something, it's a privilege to receive what God has for us. And so I set out a strategy, and I went out to accomplish, and I did accomplish what it was. I put it in several stages, I think about four stages, something like that. And we finished that task. But if I hadn't done that, one day I'm going to have to give an account for that. So I want to ask you today, is there anything that you have been given, an assignment that you have been given, that you haven't done anything with yet? And I want to ask you today, what are you going to do with it now? What are you going to do with it this weekend? And if you're like me and you had something that had been put on the back burner and you haven't touched it, you haven't finished it, I want you to do what I did. Ask God to forgive you. Ask him to empower you to be able to do that. What are we going to do with what we have been given? And so, like I said, there are some people that said, you know, I don't want to do anything. I don't want a ministry assignment. Then what you are choosing to do at that point in time is to ignore the gift that God placed within you to be a blessing to the body of Christ. I don't want to read the word because I don't want to be held accountable. Then what you are doing is you are going to have to give an account for ignoring the word of God. God said that there would be a time that would be coming when there would be a famine of hearing the word of God. Not that there would be a famine of the word of God, but there would be a famine where people choose not to hear the word of God. The New Testament describes that in the last times that people would gather themselves teachers that would satisfy their itching ears. They would teach what was satisfying to those people's ears. You know what? I need the word of truth. I need a word that is going to spur me and provoke me. The Bible talks about provoking one another unto good works. I pray that that's what this broadcast is doing today. If you have not asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, then today I want to provoke you into a relationship with Jesus Christ, not from a negative perspective, but to make use of that gift of repentance. We talked about it last week in the broadcast that God gives us the gift of repentance. I want to employ that gift so that I can have a right relationship with him. What are you going to do with that word? What are you going to do with the message you just heard at church this last week? What are you going to do with the message? You know, the thing that it so excited me about that lady in Grant was she took what she heard on the radio here and she went to her neighbors who didn't hear it the same way that, you know, they didn't hear it over the radio the way she had, but because she had heard it, she put it into use in her life. And I just bless her. And if you're listening today, thank you so much. God bless you richly for your heart for Ukraine. And so I tell people, you know, the sermons that we hear at church, they're not just so that we can say amen, not just so that we can fulfill our religious duty, but it is actually equipping us to go out and be victorious this week. In football, they have what's known as halftime. And a lot of times, and it happened to my team in the next to the last game of the year, they were just dominating the football game in the first half. And when the players went in at halftime, the teams made some adjustments, and my team ended up losing in overtime because the other team made adjustments. When we come to church, it is us coming and having a meeting with our commander-in-chief who makes the adjustments in our life so that when we go out, areas that we've experienced defeat in the last period of time, that we now experience victory in the latter half. If you've been defeated in the first half of your life, be victorious in the second half of your life. Don't just cash it in and say, I'm throwing my hands up, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm raising the white flag, it's all over. No, no. You know, even that thief on the cross, he deserved to be there, but he recognized that Jesus did not deserve to be there. And so he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And he snatched victory right out of the jaws of defeat. He ended up victorious because he made that last second adjustment. You know, just literally hours before he died, and he made sure that his eternity looked entirely different. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? We live in one of the greatest countries on the face of the earth. Even though right now a lot of our religious liberties are coming under attack, even though I would say that we are in a moral decline here in America, we still live in a land where we are free to worship God, free to serve Him, free to come together. What are we going to do with what we have been given? Because we have been given so much. Even if you ignore what we've been given as a country, when you look to the Word and go back and revisit the broadcasts that we have had over all of these past several weeks, recognize how blessed we are. And let's say, God, we are going to be faithful stewards. We are going to distribute we're going to be a blessing to those around us because you have given us so much. We are going to put it to good use. I don't know how you want to answer that day when Jesus summons you and says, what did you do with all that I had given you? The forgiveness, the grace, I gave you the power of the Holy Spirit. I gave you the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I've given you so much. What did you do with all of that? I think about Jesus at 12 years of age. He said, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And yet so many times here in America, we say, well, I'll put it off to another time. As we come to the end of February's broadcast here, I don't know about you, but I want to be able to say, God, everything that you gave me, I recognized it came from you. I put it to good use, and I made the most of it as I could for the kingdom of God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that right now, anybody who the Holy Spirit might be dealing with, that the things that have been entrusted to them, they have not been putting them to use. God, I pray that would change right now. Forgive us. Empower us. Give us vision. Give us an assignment that we can be a blessing to those around us. Lord, I pray that you would build your kingdom right here in Brevard County. In Jesus' name, we want to take one more opportunity to invite you to come be a part of our service 10:30 Sunday morning. God bless you. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one.